When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What do you mean?
Just take it easy. I finished my fucking sandwich. Seriously.
I'm starting it like this. We haven't been.
Let's just roll. I'm like, oh god.
She was just the dude from That Thing You Do Right Now.
Yeah, his egg salad sandwich hanging out of his mouth. What'd you get? Is that an Italian?
No, it's a veggie.
A veggie. Grilled veggie? Nice.
At least I didn't put ketchup on it.
Yeah, that is disturbing.
Fucking Russ.
Neither.
What happened, man? Did you get, like, abused by a priest or something?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, you're expressing it in your sandwich choice.
Neither of you have tried it, so.
There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should try it.
You don't put ketchup on pastrami.
I also don't put ketchup on tuna, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's not the same thing at all.
Yeah, it almost is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Yeah, see, I can smell that. I can smell the ketchup and the pastrami.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's disturbing.
We're back.
Fucking, can I finish my fucking sandwich? Jesus.
All right, I'll roll the theme song. You finish your sandwich.
Oh, that's not going to give me enough time.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk Mike Shu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one. It's Long May You Young.
Thanks for tuning in to, you don't really tune into a fucking podcast, do you? You just listen to it whenever, at your leisure. Thanks for listening to Long May You Young. One of the only two podcasts about Neil Young still operating out there, although I haven't heard from Joel. Have any of you guys heard from Joel from Don't Be Denied podcast, our French counterpart?
No, but then again, we haven't recorded since.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't recorded in a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, we took a summer break. You know, people have kids and bands and other jobs and things like that. So
we've decided to have a teacher schedule.
Right, exactly.
We take the summers off. Occasionally, we'll do like a summer school episode. So this is all bonus stuff, basically.
Well, if this is really a teacher's schedule, we'd be, you know, being like, we'd be the waiters at some brunch somewhere or bartenders at this point. That's what teachers do during the summer. They work their other fucking jobs.
Well, we are working other jobs besides this.
Yeah,
we
that's
basically
true.
Have a teacher's salary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
We got to buy all our own materials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're very much like teachers. We're just teaching you about Neil Young.
That's right.
Congratulations. Please raise your hand if you have a question. But thank you very much for listening. My name is Mike Shu. The Condon brothers, Luke and Russ Condon, are here from the band Town Meeting, who have been very busy of late. You guys have been very busy musically, which is nice with Town Meeting stuff and solo stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Crammed all our shows into June and a little bit of July, and they were a ton of fun.
Right.
Saw some youngsters out there in D.C. and Philly. It was kind of cool.
Nice. You guys have a new album out?
We do. It's called A Boy, A Bear, A Beast, A Bone, A Mouse.
That's real. He's not joking.
Don't ask.
That's the real name of the album.
Yeah.
It's fun. We had a lot of fun making it. Got a lot of really good feedback from a lot of the Long May You Young people. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and if you're listening, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate it while we took a break.
And Mike, you have a new album out.
Yeah, I have a new album out. Yeah, it's called Nobody Puts Fucking Ketchup on Their Pastrami Sandwich.
This is really bothering you.
Oh my god, it's like the hair on the back of my neck is standing.
I don't know what we're leaving in before this, but this is the third or fourth time he's brought it up.
I can't. Russ, you're just freaking me out, man.
We started the day off. We went disc golfing together because we haven't hung out in a while. It was great. Went over to Meadowbrook and Sterling.
Mm-hmm. And then, beautiful.
We stopped at D'Angelo's on the way back at Mike and Rusted, brought back some subs. I got a nice steak and cheese. Mike got a veggie. Russ got a pastrami. Russ made the odd choice of putting ketchup on a pastrami, and Mike is... He's holding a knife to Russ's throat.
It's
right
really,
now.
It's really infuriating when people don't respect meat like that. Seriously,
Mike, you respect your meat.
I respect all meat. Any meat I put in my mouth, I make sure there's tons of respect before I.
If there's one,
you know,
thing
I put it in my body.
Me and Russ talked about before trying to figure out who we should ask to co-host this podcast. It was you because of how much you respect meat.
That's
like
right.
Universally known.
Yeah, yeah. You don't. You know, those animals died for us. So don't desecrate their carcass by putting ketchup on it, okay? Listen, unless it's a hamburger.
Oh, I was talking about your meat, like your
the
dick.
Only thing that bothers me.
Oh, I don't put ketchup on that either.
Have you tried it?
No, just mayo and possibly some barbecue sauce.
The only thing that bothers me about this is that you don't get as upset at Luke when he puts fucking mayonnaise on his meat.
Well, that's he, if he
had
not
true. He does get mad
if he does if he has an Italian sub and he puts mayonnaise on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Then he's I did. I've ripped him for that. That's complete. Right, like that's right. Just horrible. That's awful.
Yeah, that's,
you're a terrible person.
That's really not no good.
You should register on some kind of condiment offender website, both of you, or at least walk around the neighborhood and tell people that you what you do. Like they
hey,
do with
listen,
sex offenders.
We can't all get paid to do hot dog tosses all the time.
I was catching the hot dog, by the way, for the record. I wasn't tossing it, okay? My partner was tossing it. I was catching it. All right? Those were jumbo wieners, too. They're not hard to handle.
For those of you who don't know, Mike obviously is a DJ on the Pike in Worcester, and he gets into all sorts of weekend shenanigans.
Right. We tried to break a record for the longest hot dog toss into a bun, which is 168 feet.
That's pretty
well. We didn't
actually.
Make it past 160 feet, unfortunately. But
did you make 160 feet though? That's pretty good.
No, we did about one. It was like 158.
You know why? Because your radio partner Adam doesn't even know what Breaking Bad is.
I don't even get me started. That's almost as bad as putting ketchup on your pastrami.
So how could he be good at anything else?
Seriously.
He doesn't, Russ. Not that he's never seen it. He didn't know what it was.
He said Breaking Bad. That's a movie, right? Or is that a TV show?
Jeez. Really?
Yes, really.
That's not the guy I want catching my hot dog.
No. Right. Well, he was throwing the hot dog.
Either way. I
was trying to catch it, but...
I don't want him tossing or catching my meat.
No. Yeah.
I don't want that guy anywhere near my meat.
Right. Or anywhere near me. Driving, you know, taking
Darryl,
care of my family.
They're back, and they're just talking about meat and they're shit.
Not, yeah, that's right. And Breaking Bad. I love that show, Daryl.
You know who else does it? Have you seen that thing going around? Did you ever see that Anthony Hopkins letter that he wrote to me?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
You think that's real?
I looked it up. Yeah, on Snopes. It's got a true.
That's great.
Yeah, it said it's the best acting he's ever seen.
Right. We got that letter from Anthony Hopkins, when was it, like a year ago about this podcast,
that's right.
Saying he just said, please stop.
Yeah.
This is terrible. I don't even know why I'm listening to this. I thought you were going to talk about Neil Young, but all you did talk about was semen
I thought he liked it. He said he enjoyed the podcast with some fava beans and a nice,
a nice Chianti.
Chianti. All right. We're back, obviously, and you can tell we're back in true form because we haven't talked about Neil Young in the past 5 minutes on a Neil Young podcast.
We haven't talked about Neil Young at all, have we?
No, not at all. Today we're going to
I think the most Neil Young that was mentioned was that we're a Neil Young podcast.
Right. That's about it. Yeah.
So we'll talk about Neil, but what have you guys been up to?
You know what I've been doing
since
the last time we did an episode? Not listening to Neil Young.
Really?
That's what I've been doing.
You didn't listen to Toast at all?
I did. I dabbled in it a little, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a full break.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to totally cleanse the palate. I've been listening to the new Soulfly album, which is fucking sick.
Really?
There's another band I love is The Nude Party. Luke,
yeah,
I got you to listen
to
them.
They're good.
Luke got me to listen to the new Dawes record. What's it called? Something in Doom Scrolling?
Misadventures of Doom Scroller.
It's the best album of the year.
I don't know about that. It's pretty good.
It's their best album. Yeah.
It sounds like they've been listening to Steely Dan and Crack the Sky.
Yep.
And maybe a little, I don't know, a little E Street Bandish.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit.
They need a sax. They have a saxophone, actually, don't they? They have a sax player. I thought they had one in one of their songs.
No. You should tune into our Dawes podcast more than you would know more about the band.
Is that the one that jumping up and down on Jackson Brown's dick? I thought that was my Dawes podcast.
That's right. No, it's the album of the year. That song, Someone Else's Cafe, it's the best song of the year already. I'm already calling it. It's the summer of Dawes.
Okay.
Rules.
Okay. It is pretty good. I like it. So I like it better than anything else I've heard from them in the past.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's, no, I've been listening to Dawes, The New Party, and then like a lot of sad boy, like Charlie Hickey, stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. That's too bad.
And then I keep going back to The Killers. That record they put out last year still gets me every time.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Russ?
Yeah, a lot of Dawes. Well, just a lot of the new album. Oh, what have I been up to or what have I been listening to?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Oh, okay. I recorded, I put out a single from my solo album. I'll be putting out another one sometime soon.
And where can people find that?
Everywhere now. Yeah, so wherever.
Even Spotify?
Even the demons.
Really?
Yeah. Even the demon spot.
I still have Spotify.
I don't have a paid account anymore.
I don't use it.
I dumped it.
Yeah.
I just use Amazon Music.
That's all I use too.
I use Tidal, but not all of Neil's stuff is on Tidal. I mean, we have the archives, so it doesn't matter.
I only listen to Neil on the archives.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to Neil much since the podcast either.
I took a full
break. Kind of intentionally.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I got to take a full break.
I did dabble in Toast as well.
I went through Toast. I popped Barn on, and then I yesterday I listened to Noise and Flowers.
How was that? I haven't even had a chance to listen to that yet.
Yeah, he has like the...
It's fun.
He has like that's the song on there right now.
It's Promise of the Real, and they're just
great.
Yeah, awesome.
I gotta say though, it's been a while, so I gotta ask, boys, how's the business, Neil? How's the business, Neil?
Yeah, so we're gonna cover
how's the business, Neil?
Two live archive releases. Tonight's the Night live at the Roxy, and then Songs for Judy. Yep. Two very different albums.
Yeah. Paired well together, though.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed listening to these two.
Yeah, these are...
I would say they paired better than pastrami and ketchup.
Oh, what doesn't, really?
I don't know.
You know, ketchup on a hot dog, that could be worse.
I don't even put ketchup
Actually, that isn't worse. I think pastrami and ketchup is the worst.
You really don't put ketchup on your hot
dog? I don't put ketchup on my hot dog either.
No, I put ketchup on a hamburger.
Mustard and onions, that's it.
Yeah.
Unless you get like a specialty dog.
So what do you do? Mustard and relish?
Basically, like if I can get like a cheese on it too,
or sauerkraut
on a hot dog,
yeah,
a little sauerkraut on a dog,
like a cheese sauce.
No, yeah, okay, cheese sauce, sure, or cheese dog.
Hey, Daryl, it really doesn't take much to get him off track.
Yeah, and she was like, "This could be a quick one. We could do a quick one."
No, it's my.
You're the one that brought it up, man.
Well, before we get into Neil,
I know the science of how to eat a hot dog, and we can do that if you got 4 hours.
Before we get into Neil, and we will get into Neil, we promise.
Do you do a toasted bun if you can?
Oh yeah,
Sure.
Buttery toasted.
I prefer just a plain bun, not toasted. Maybe a little steamed.
I've heard that.
Steamed hot dogs
too. Steamed bun.
I like a steamed dog, a wiener.
You like it in a fake baseball helmet?
That's right.
Okay,
we're covering Roxy and
Songs for Judy, and these are part of the live archive release. And you know, I'm a huge fan of Tonight's the Night, and I love Live at the Roxy. Though I might like that better than the actual album Tonight's the Night.
It's really good,
and it's basically what they do. They play it live all the way through.
Yeah,
there's that one thing at the end which I'll talk about later, but just a great performance. It's got a slightly different vibe than the album.
It's different.
Even though the album was recorded live also, and we covered that in that episode, that they would get friggin' tanked before they went in to record. And they basically were doing that with this album too. This was like 73. They hadn't put the album out, because as you remember, they shelved Tonight's the Night.
Well, yeah, and he even says, like, we're going to play some new ones, and then he plays, like, Mellow My Mind, you know?
Right, so. And it's just, they play the whole album. Nobody's heard any of this music before. This was, like, the opening night of the Roxy, too, in Los Angeles. So it was their inaugural show, and on this tour, and we've talked about this before on the Tonight's the Night episode, these guys were fucking wasted. I mean, they were, like, doing everything under the sun. They were drinking tons of tequila.
Well, the more they drink, the better we sound.
That's right, according to Nils.
No, it's the faster you drink, the better we sound, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
I feel like Russ is kind of nailing these little side impressions so far.
So like that was that tour was, you know, and they did a whole tour for Tonight's the Night doing this.
Yeah.
And then they end up not putting the album out.
Of course.
They go back in and they record On the Beach, and then they did Homegrown, right? And then
I'm glad they did that, because On the Beach is...
Right, yeah. And then eventually, like 2 years later, they put it out. But they did this whole tour and this whole like concept of Waterface. That's what like, was his character, and he would
Miami
come out.
Beach thing,
he tried to make it like as cheesy and as sleazy as possible.
Welcome to Miami Beach, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so like, thank my managers for introducing me.
Yeah.
And
Russ, you're 3 for 3 on these.
I don't know what's going on.
It's got that whole... These two albums have that in common, these two releases, where he's kind of poking fun at the old school entertainment establishment, especially the old school like Hollywood establishment. You know, in this one, he's like, welcome to Miami Beach. Mm-hmm. It's my name's Glenn Miller.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of old...
And my name's
old
Glenn
school,
Miller.
Yeah. The old school thing. And but I think I prefer this to Tonight's the Night. Just
really?
The performances to me are a little better. Even though they're both live, basically, but this is like live without a net.
I love this. I feel like they're two sides of the same coin, but I think for some reason my brain goes to Tonight's the Night. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is better because he's...
I like the interaction.
There's more humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like the whole... And that story, you know, in the beginning when he's like... You know, the first topless woman up here gets one of these boots. So they had these like knee-high glam rock boots they had nailed to the side of the piano. If you look up pictures of this tour, you see Nils at the piano and then all these like long, like bedazzled boots, high heel boots,
nailed
like David
into
Bowie.
The piano?
Nailed into the side of the piano, right? Oh, yeah. Nails. Oh, boy. I didn't mean to say that.
I got a nail story after this, but.
So that was the deal. You would say, you know, the first topless woman up there. So this was like the first night that they were playing. For Tonight's the Night, and at the time he was married to Carrie Snodgrass, and she immediately gets up and starts taking off her shirt, and I believe it was Elliot Roberts who like grabbed her and said, no,
Jesus.
Not you, he didn't mean you. So yeah, can you imagine that if she got up on stage topless to grab one of those boots? What would Neil
fucking awesome?
What would Neil have said? You know, like Elliot Roberts may have saved the tour at that point.
Yeah,
you know,
that's wild.
That's what was going on between them and everything. I mean, I think at that point their marriage was starting to fall apart a little bit.
I'm just looking at a picture from the tour.
Yeah, you'll see it. All these boots.
Fucking
like,
Ben, man. Ben,
nailed up.
Ben looks great, too, in the bucket, in the bucket hat.
Full 70s wasted vibe.
And Neil. Yeah. I like this look for Neil, too.
The
water face. That's what he's doing in Human Highway, right?
In Human Highway? Well, Human Highway...
Well, like
he didn't have that look, but he's...
No, when they go to the... when they cut to... like
Yeah,
is that
Waterface
weird?
Is his like rock star...
Yeah, yeah.
Rock star guy thing.
Those pants, though, with the fucking...
Yeah, it was a seersucker suit or jacket, and then the Elvis sunglasses.
Yeah.
Didn't bathe, didn't shave, didn't cut his hair. They were all just like the scruffy, wasted gang. And it just added to the whole
Billy
atmosphere.
And Talbot's got like the vest and the collar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they wanted to make it as sleazy as possible. They had palm trees on stage. Because we talked about this during Tonight's the Night, so it was a big production. I love the Bill Graham intro, too, at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for waiting, ladies and gentlemen. When they say that, you know he's got to be like 2 hours late.
Oh, yeah.
On the stage.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love that. I also... Is that my headphones that's doing that?
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm hearing it, too.
I don't know. It's annoying. But I love the contrast between that and then... I love that Songs for Judy is just... It's just... I don't know. Like a... That was when... obviously, they all probably waited, too. But I love that Roxy is the show and Songs for Judy is all the pre-show. Do you know what I mean? Those acoustic things he would do before. And I just feel like they just really... It was kind of great listening to both of them at the same time.
Yeah, it's a great mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Live at the Roxy was, what, 73 or 74 around then?
The Roxy was 73.
73. And then Songs for Judy is, I believe, the 76 tour when he first got back with Crazy Horse. I think that was the tour for Zuma, I'm thinking. Because Zuma came out like in 75.
Probably.
And so And this at that time, like between those years, so 73 to 76, you know, he did a ton of stuff. Like he he recorded Tonight's the Night, didn't put it out. He did On the Beach. He did Homegrown, and he shelved that.
Right. Yeah.
He did Hitchhiker. Yeah. Or no? Yeah. What did he? Was
no,
it?
He did Hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, that was one of those sessions where it was a full moon, and he got with Briggs.
Yeah.
And then he gets back with Crazy Horse here to do this tour. The interesting thing for Songs for Judy was this was something that was put together originally by Cameron Crowe, the writer and director.
Really?
Yeah, he was on. This is when Cameron Crowe was like music journalist for Rolling Stone, and he was, I don't know how old he was at this point, maybe like 19 years old or something. He was still a teenager, I think.
Yeah.
And he was with this photographer, Joel Bernstein.
Is that what like Almost Famous is based on?
Yeah, but yeah, he wrote Almost Famous and directed it.
Yeah.
He also directed Singles. And,
yeah, yeah.
And Neil liked him because his last name is a bird.
Yeah, so that's pretty obvious, yeah. Luke. Jeez, yeah. Come on. I didn't even notice that. That's so good. Oh, that's good. We need a train reference and a semen reference. We'll be back in the saddle.
Time fades away as well. 73.
Yeah. Right? So there was a lot. This is like premium, like prolific Neil Young time. And he had just told Stephen Stills to eat a peach a few months earlier before this Crazy Horse tour. So he did Stills Young Band and that big piece of shit. And did a bit of a tour with Stephen Stills. So, yeah, this is where he does the whole acoustic set beforehand, and then Crazy Horse comes on. And I was wondering, because I was looking at the playlist for this, and there's not a lot. There's maybe one song from Tonight's the Night on there. There's not a lot on the beach. There's nothing from Zuma. And I'm thinking, oh, well, Crazy Horse is coming on to play afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's probably saving that. But apparently he was playing different songs every night. And there's a few songs here on Songs for Judy, much like Live at the Roxy, that people have never heard before. Like White Line is one of them. He didn't record that until Ragged Glory.
Right.
But it's a great, I love it, acoustic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the one from Freedom? Oh, Not Too Far Gone.
Oh, yeah. What is that one?
It is Too Far Gone.
Is right? it? Is that the
It is, it? Yeah. I think he does like a pumped up version on Freedom, right? I couldn't remember. I'm like, this sounds familiar. I don't remember what it's from. Also, that noise that keeps buzzing, I don't think it's showing up on the recording. I think it's just in our headphones.
No, you're right. That is Freedom. Yeah. And then Give Me Strength. That was on Hitchhiker.
Hitchhiker, yeah.
You know, and then what else? There was another one on there. Oh, No One Seems to Know.
Right.
And that was the first appearance of this song. And so, you know, again, it's Neil throwing a lot of stuff out there. You know what's great? You listen to the crowd on Songs for Judy. He's throwing out these tunes that nobody's heard before.
Also, when he does,
and the crowd's going sick. That's when people used to love when an artist would go, "You want to hear some new stuff?" And people would go sick.
Actually liked it. Yeah.
You know, now it's like, "You want to hear some new stuff?" And then that's when everybody goes get a beer. They go to the bathroom.
Right.
You know.
When he does "Love Is a Rose," when would they have heard that, or would they have thought it was "Dance Dance"?
You know what? It's almost the same thing as Dance Dance.
It is the same.
Yeah.
The same,
but Love Is a Rose is on Homegrown,
yeah,
right?
But they wouldn't have
they
heard
wouldn't
that.
Have heard the,
but
he,
they
that didn't
like
get released till a couple of years
didn't
ago.
Didn't it end up on Hitchhiker too?
Love Is a Rose?
No, I don't think so.
I have no idea. Who knows at this point?
We should know because we do a Neil Young podcast.
Yeah, but it really
though.
All just blends together.
Well, there's just too many of these two.
There's too many goddamn albums.
Yeah.
Here, hold on. I'll look it up right now.
While you're looking it up.
It's on Decade.
Yeah.
Love Is a Rose is on Decade?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
I feel like I'm forgetting more Neil than I'm remembering.
And Decade was 74, so I guess they would have heard it. They would have known it.
Yeah, he did it for Homegrown. They put it on Decade.
I threw this out. So I only announced a few hours ago that we were recording today, and people must be eager to talk about this because we already have over 15 comments.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to read all of them, obviously.
We don't even have that much to say.
that'll be the episode.
I'm just going to go down. Jeez, okay. John Locke has a lot to say about these
two. Oh,
boy.
Holy shit.
But I'll start with James Clark. Roxy has the best walk-on I've ever heard. Stage patter is priceless. Love this alternate Tonight's the Night. Songs for Judy, stage patter also priceless. Intro/Too Far Gone is the best thing on it. The rest is fun. Listen to them both a lot. He goes on.
That's also the common thing about these two releases. They are definitely fun,
They're
Neil.
Fun, yeah.
Like, Neil Young is loose and funny. Everything the record company said he wasn't.
Yeah.
Neil Young is not fun. But he is on these two albums. He's super loose.
Yeah.
He's wicked wasted.
Did anyone see the email we got?
No.
It's John Garrett. Hi, guys. Have you given up on the Neil Young podcast?
Oh, no.
It's been a long time since the last one. Maybe Neil's release schedule is outpacing you and you have realized that you will never get to the end.
It could be something to that.
That's true.
Whatever you have for plans, thanks a lot for taking the time to do this series. It's been a blast. Regards, John.
Nice.
Well, thanks, John.
Yeah, John, if you want more content, go to patreon.com/townmeeting. Not a
there's
ton
a bunch
more,
of stuff from... on Patreon, I think, from like Ricky Harvey and Craig Bitch and John Locke and
Don't you have to mention Craig Bitch?
Oh yeah, Craig Bitch, John Locke, and Mark Ray. Thank you for being top tier patrons. Patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. All kinds of good stuff.
Thanks for being patient. We appreciate that.
So speaking of John Locke, I'm John. Relax. I'm not reading all this stuff. writes, here are my thoughts on Miss Judy. I feel like John is just smoking weed and just writing about this. I love this record because it's an official release of the legendary Bernstein tapes, co-created with Cameron Crowe. I obtained a copy of the Bernstein tapes back in my 20s, but the quality is terrible, so it's great to hear it in all its glory. Now, is it Bernstein or Bernstein tapes? Because I've heard both.
Like the Bernstein Bears?
Thanks for grabbing that one.
Okay.
Nice. What can be said about Neil Young using the unreleased classic Like a Hurricane used to open A Man Needs a Maid? Just pure perfection.
That is beautiful. I got so excited when I heard that.
So let me ask you about that, because I know you wanted to talk about it. Do you think he had already written Like a Hurricane, or do you think he was, obviously Man Needs a Maid had already come out, and that maybe he had written that for A Man Needs a Maid, dumped it, when Nietzsche was like, no, we're going to do it like Disney songs. And then he just kept, he couldn't get it out of his head. Because doesn't he say, like, I can't get this out of my head or something?
Yeah, he
like
says,
that.
I just can't get this out of my head. I thought the story was he wrote that during the Zuma sessions after they went out to a bar and he met the woman that's supposedly the subject of the song.
But that
and then
riff.
Left, and then they stopped at some cliff on Malibu.
Like a Hurricane is
and
also
did a,
on Decade.
And did a bunch of coke, and he wrote it on some like wrapper or napkin he had in the car, or something like that.
So people at the Judy Show would have heard everything on Decade, right?
Probably,
because Decade came out November 29, 1975, and the Judy Show was 1976, right?
Yeah,
I thought Decade was until 1975.
So people would have heard Decade for sure.
Huh.
Yeah, definitely.
I would assume so, right?
Uh-huh.
But Hurricane... No, that's good to know, because a lot of songs that weren't anywhere else were on Decade.
Right. So and Hurricane later showed up on Stars and Bars.
But it was on Decade, Hurricane was.
No, Hurricane was Live Rust.
And that was 79.
Fucking
78.
You know what? Let's just start from the first album again.
Yeah.
We got
to. Well, this is a very, you know, this the 70s, Neil, so much stuff came out, and a bunch of things he recorded that he didn't release until recently.
Because when you type in on the archives, they have that thing where you can type in, mm-hmm. and it shows you where the songs are, and that seems to be the only spots where it is.
Right. Yeah. So
I don't think it was on Stars and Bars.
John.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Let me go to Stars.
Well, you're looking it up. John Locke says a bunch more about that. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he does say...
yeah, that's weird. Why is it... Yeah, it is.
What John Locke says this is easily one of the best of his 20 solo acoustic shows that he's released lately.
Yeah, I agree, John.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a lot of fun. He's super loose on all of them. You know, I think telling Stephen Stills to fuck off maybe gave him a little boost.
Oh, see?
And his attitude.
You have to click albums. That's what it is.
He has a lot to say about Roxy, too. I'm not going to read all that, but John Locke does say, how many hours do you plan on talking about Nils playing on Speaking Out? His his brother Nails would be so proud if he ever listened to this record, right. But I know that
I don't
he
think
never
it's
will.
His brother, is it?
I don't know what we'd established.
It's like a half-brother, isn't it?
Yeah, this podcast, much like Neil Young's timeline, we're not experts right. on either.
Yeah. You guys know better than us, probably.
All right, I'm just going to sidebar into a quick Nails story, if you don't mind.
Okay, all right.
So,
Nails Lofgren.
Nails Lofgren, his I don't know if you'd call him his manager. His best friend John is also one of my best friends. John, he loves climbing. He loves a rock gym. He loves horror. He loves all kinds of weird, creative horror stuff. Like that guy Joe Bob Briggs. He like has his autograph stuff. He has Shudder, all that stuff. Anyway, Shudder put out a documentary on the band Gwar.
Yeah.
And did I tell you any of this?
I don't know.
So I went over John's and we watched this doc. And in typical John fashion, he spends the first 20 minutes, we're just hanging out in his kitchen, and he just tells me the whole documentary. And then we watch it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the thing John talked about. Oh, yeah, like the whole thing. So then after he's like, yeah, I don't know how I was never into Gwar. They've been around since I was a kid. I don't know how I missed them, but I'm way into them now. And Russ, you know when John gets into a thing, he into a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, he texts me about a day after this, and he goes, hey, Gwar's coming to Worcester, so we should go. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, are you familiar with the Gwar show?
Yeah, you're going to get, like, blood thrown on you.
Blood, fake semen. Yeah. Mike apparently has been to, like, 20.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them a lot. Yeah.
But, so I said, I don't know. It doesn't really seem like my thing, but maybe. And then the next day, hey, I bought you a ticket. So whenever you can Venmo me $40.
Jesus.
Right?
So I guess I'm going to see Gwar in October. My thing with Gwar is I don't know how venues keep booking them. I think they might be playing the Hanover Theater, which can't be true.
No, that can't be true. It's got to be the Palladium. Okay. Yeah. They basically put plastic on everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is. It's amazing. There's so many bodily fluids being flung into and all over the crowd. It's a giant show. It's fantastic.
And I think
you would like it. You're going to enjoy yourself.
So many members. And I think Neil was definitely a member at one point.
Yeah, that was their short Gwar railroad tour where they would come out on a space train
and the train would eat the crowd
and the train would just like plow over a bunch of Gwar slaves.
I think he called himself Odorous Trainerous.
Oh god,
stupid Gwar. I don't want to make dumb Gwar references on
we won't. But you're gonna have a good time. They put on a good show.
I think the name of that album was Living with Gwar.
Nice.
Excellent.
Anyway, yeah, it annoyed me that he bought a ticket for me, but it'll be fun.
It will be fun. Yeah, you're going to love it.
Speaking of that, I bought you guys tickets, so whenever you can Venmo.
Great, thank you. Right, so. Awesome.
We don't need to get into each song. Oh,
No, because we've covered most of these songs.
Sorry, a few more. Mikey Long, Live at Roxy is incredible. It adds an upbeat party vibe to the dark and hopelessness of probably my favorite Neil album, Roxy in the Day, Studio for the Night, FNM. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree because it's a more, I don't know, it just seems a little more upbeat than the actual studio album.
Anthony Miglieri, oh, says, sorry, Anthony. Tired Eyes at the Roxy rips your heart out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Kent Smith, Ben Keith on Roxy is all that needs to be said. John Locke responds to that by saying Russ is going to be gushing about him.
It's true. And he looks fucking awesome, too.
Tom Sclafani. We got a lot of Italians listening to the pod.
Rest in peace, Tony Sirico.
Feast of Saint Agrippa.
Since we recorded a lot of...
There's been some more deaths.
Yeah, James Caan.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right, Polly Walnuts.
Polly Walnuts, yeah.
That's what you said, Tony Sirico.
That sucks.
Sucks.
Ew!
Oh, and Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Too
many deaths.
Have we recorded since Ray? I thought.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom says, if you somehow manage to condense tequila, crystallizing it into a solid flat disc, and you drop the needle on that disc, it would sound like Live at the Roxy.
Yes.
I fucking love
that's
that.
Pretty
yeah,
great.
That's a good description of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he seems a lot more wasted on Songs for Judy.
You think
so? He kind of does.
I think he seems high.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's high as a fucking kite, man, which is hilarious.
Do you think the Judy story was just a funny story, or do you think he actually hallucinated and saw Judy in the pit?
He says you don't have to believe him.
I believe him.
I just think he was trying to come up with some weird story to confuse people, like he usually does. Fucking Neil, man. You know, that's what he does.
I don't think you heard me. He reached inside me.
Inside me.
Yeah.
He's funnier than on that one. What was that one? Was that...
That was one of the archives.
That was like Cellar Door.
They're all on the archives.
Something like that. Yeah. But he's much funnier on this one. I think he's awesome. Actually, and then...
That reminds me. How far in are we, Luke? We're a little more than a half hour. Okay. That I feel like this is a good time to tell you guys that it's nice to be here. It was nice to be here earlier, and it's still nice to be here.
It's still nice to be here.
Neil Hedberg.
I'm going to start using that at shows. I loved that.
Just start stealing everything.
It's nice to be here. It was nice to be here earlier, and it's still nice to be here.
Neil Hedberg, just doing Mitch Hedberg jokes in a Neil voice. I used to do drugs. I still
well,
do.
No, that's what he said. He says that in the rocks.
I know. That sounds like a Mitch Hedberg joke.
Oh, yeah.
I love how he dedicates...
Roll Another Number to the cops, that one.
That one, and then After the Gold Rush.
Oh, on
this one's for all the freeways in Texas.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I think it's because, I don't know, it's an environmental thing. I don't know.
I didn't understand that one.
Yeah, I didn't get that one either.
And he was referring to Jimmy Carter, right, when he was talking about the new president? That would have been...
No, Carter was later than that.
76. No, that was...
Was it
that
Carter?
That was Carter, I believe. Yeah, because... Yeah.
No, because Reagan was 80.
Right.
His boy Reagan, Neil's boy.
That's right, his boy. Yeah, Carter took over in 76, so...
Yeah, I think that was...
But, yeah, that's interesting, the stuff with the references he throws in there, like in Pocahontas with John Ehrlichman and the First Family. All that stuff was still very raw. And current Watergate, that whole thing, because that had just happened a couple of years earlier. Plus, and then Songs for Judy, that whole, you know, obviously you guys weren't alive, but I remember in 1976, the bicentennial was a huge deal. That was a gigantic thing. They had logos everywhere, and
I remember I saw Rocky. I know.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, right? You saw Apollo Creed dressed like George Washington.
That's right.
Living in America. But so that's you know, that's the whole vibe right there. But
do we want to talk about the Bernstein tapes, what those were a little bit?
Yeah, so that was Cameron Crowe and
Joel, guitar tech, right?
Guitar tech and photographer.
Okay.
And so him and Cameron Crowe just took the recordings and they made a tape for themselves of what they thought were the best moments from the acoustic parts of the tour. And then somehow that got lost and ended up out in public, and so there were several different bootlegs and stuff. And so they kind of recreated...
Of what? The
Bernstein tape.
No, I know. Of what show?
Of the Songs for Judy.
It's a compilation.
Show.
Right. Yeah. And so what they did was they recreated that using the tapes from the actual shows. I think the only thing different is that they put them in chronological order.
Yeah, they seem to be.
From the beginning to the end of the tour.
Yeah.
There's a few Boston songs in there. What are the Boston songs, Luke? Are you looking at that
songs,
right now?
Roll Another Number.
Yeah.
Journey Through the Past, Harvest, and Campaigner. That's a good collection.
Wait, so was Cameron Crowe like on tour?
He was covering that. He's... You know, he was a journalist, when he was 15.
Yeah, right.
So he was on this tour.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman sent him on the tour.
Right. He told him not to be friendly with the rock stars. and the Band-Aids were there, the whole deal.
He almost slept with Carrie Snodgrass.
Right, yeah.
Billy Crudup showed up and was still somehow the same age.
Stillwater opened a few shows. Yeah.
Jason Lee, before he got into, you know, all the Kevin Smith movies.
So that bootleg was going around, but like John Locke said, it sounded, you know, it sounded terrible because it came from a cassette that they had made. And so if you go to Neil Young Archives and you go to the article section for Songs for Judy, they'll show you the J card for the cassette and the order of the songs and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
So yeah, that's the interesting part of this. These weren't tracks chosen by Neil. These were tracks chosen by Cameron Crowe and Joel Bernstein.
Did he do a full acoustic set, or would he just do like three or four songs before?
No,
shows?
He did like a full.
It was just
full
him.
Opening set,
and then Crazy Horse was the
right.
That was
a pretty common thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that was the first time he did that on this tour, but that was pretty common. you know, Live Rust, that's what that is. That whole Rust Never Sleeps story came out. And
yeah. I mean, he kind of did that when we saw him, Luke, with Promise of the Real.
Yeah.
But it was like four or five songs. You know what I mean? And it was great, but...
He did a similar, like, organ thing for after the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
It would have been cool to see him do Man Needs a Maid, but...
But that was... That's something he kept doing.
Yeah.
Like, the full acoustic set. And, you know, if you think about that, that's cool, because then he could do stuff... If he was with Crazy Horse, he could do stuff from Harvest, you know, and Comes a Time and stuff like that, and then he could do the full-on electric Crazy Horse stuff, you know, after that, and do the long jams and things like that, you know, and get some of the hits out of the way from Harvest, which he does on Songs for Judy. He does Heart of Gold early in the set, right?
Yeah.
He does Harvest.
He does Heart of Gold early and then Harvest later.
And then so Man Needs a Maid.
If you guys could, like, if you only had one night, you're launched back to either one of these, and you get to see the full Crazy Horse too, would you rather be at the Waterface shows, like with the Santa Monica Flyers, or would you rather be at the Judy ones?
I'd be with at the Crazy Tonight's the Night shows.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be at the Waterface.
I don't know. I don't know.
The Santa Monica Flyers.
Yeah, because you got Ben Keith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, that was like a real.
Yeah,
that was a real specific thing for them. It wasn't just like them playing it up. That was like Neil's idea. We're going to be this band of sleazy guys.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to be like act like we're part of the Hollywood establishment or whatever, and be, you know, the whole Miami Beach thing and everything. And I would have liked to seen that. I would have liked to seen that as the people there, like hearing that stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, at some point on that tour, I would have liked to seen that.
I know.
You know, and him just going through all that stuff and just completely brand new stuff that was, and it's Tonight's the Night, you know. Interesting thing about Tonight's the Night, and I think we covered it with either On the Beach or the Tonight's the Night episode, he has Walk On at the end of Live at the Roxy, and I think he wanted to do that originally. I think Walk On was something he had recorded, and he wanted to put at the end of Tonight's Night to kind of give this, like, okay, well, life still goes on kind of thing.
Yeah, Walk On.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Move along.
Let me extend that question. If you could pick any era, album era, of Neil to see him tour, would it still be one of these two?
I'd still go 70s, yeah.
Would it be one of these shows?
Trans tour. St. Louis.
That's not true.
St. Louis show.
I think it would
Landing on Water.
I think it would be one of these Tonight's the Night ones.
Yeah.
I definitely I'd have to say
it right.
And because it's still intimate-ish venue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Roxy's not a huge place.
No.
Yeah.
But like cuz if you go like Time Fades Away or whatever, then you're in you know what I mean? Like, I've already seen him in a fucking amphitheater. I don't need to see him in an arena.
Right.
I mean, I will, because that's all you can get now. But, like, going back and being able to see him in an intimate, you know?
Yeah, and that band.
The smell and, with fucking Ben Keith
and Nils.
And you still have Crazy, because you still have Billy and Ralph.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's
still Crazy. This is my favorite.
It's Crazy Horse.
It's Ben,
extended.
Nils, and then two of the Crazy, and I mean, they are Crazy Horse, because...
Yeah, that kind of, he built them as that. Yeah.
And actually, that is Crazy Horse, because now Crazy Horse
is Nils
and Ralph and Billy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So then you just have Ben.
I think that would be it. I mean, of all the eras.
I think that would be it for me too,
You know,
I would also...
Those warm-up shows for the Ragged Glory tour, though, that might be a close second.
Tell you what, though, you throw in a fucking a Rusty somehow in there. If he can get on stage, then I'm fucking sold.
Who?
Kershaw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, right?
That'd be fucking nuts, dude.
Oh,
he's playing like a saw or something. With his suspenders.
He'd be up there like with some kind of portable stove frying up like trout.
Yeah.
You know, and serving it to the crowd. He's got like red beans and rice on the side.
Like, he's making a gumbo.
Who's hungry?
Yeah.
All right, I got Fritos. I got red wine.
Yeah.
I got red beans. I got some smelt.
Smelt.
And some honey.
I've never had
honey
smelt.
Slides. Yeah. You never had smelt?
No, they have it at K's down in Gardner.
Oh, really? They serve it a case?
Yeah, they serve fried smelt.
My dad would bring home smelt and fry it up, and it was delicious, but it made the house smell for a week.
It's delicious?
It's called smelt. Oh, it was wonderful, yeah. Smelt, yeah.
Isn't it just like sardine-ish?
It's like a larger sardine, but it's not like a sardine from a can. It sounds like something. It's different.
It sounds like something Dean would eat.
Dean loves smelt.
I bet he does.
And then he always, his saying was, dead as a smelt.
Smelt delicious.
Look, man, that's dead as a smelt. That's what he would say. You want to?
Well, what would be yours, Luke?
Any era?
Yeah.
I think I'd agree with you guys. I would like to see. I would love to see almost like this evening with Neil, where he does a full acoustic set and then comes out and rips. But it'd probably be this era.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see like I'd love to be at Massey Hall.
Yeah,
right. You know, I mean, that's such a great show. But at the same time, I don't know. I just like this particular band.
Yeah, there are some of those solo ones from early that I like. They're so great, right. And he's so funny.
But even later,
but I mean, you can't pass up for me. I can't pass up Ben.
No, you can't.
Crazy Horse Guys, right. And Nils.
I also can't get away from '90s Neil right now. I keep going back to Broken Arrow. I keep going back to
yeah.
Fucking
but again, in the 90s, he's in arenas.
I know, totally. You know. I agree with you. I just, I don't know. 90s Neil, like, won't leave me alone.
Because it's so goddamn good.
It's great, yeah.
He really came back hard.
Yeah.
Actually, I changed my mind. I wouldn't see any of these. I'd go back and I'd see Candy Bar.
Right on this stage. Yeah. Right here, ladies and gentlemen.
I had to look up Candy Bar. Set of tits on that one, huh?
Yeah,
oh,
right?
You looked her up?
Huh?
Yeah.
Come on. See, that's another thing. It's like the 70s vibe.
Don't
the
say set of tits on that
one. Hey, man,
one.
We're doing a Waterface podcast. We can be sleazy guys.
Neil's the one that asked for the first topless woman on stage.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Set of tits on that.
That's what it was
one.
All about. Oh, wow, come on.
What's wrong with you? Fucking Candy Bar.
I'd definitely be with the International Harvesters on Nashville Now.
No.
That's what I want to go back to.
Boo.
I'd be the only Asian in the whole building.
What if that wasn't true?
What do you mean?
It was
just a room full of Asians.
It was just, some tour group. Yeah.
No, they just love, Asians love the International Harvesters. That's it.
You know who the Asians love, specifically the Taiwanese? Who? They love Town Meeting.
They do. They love the song of New Hampshire.
Yeah, they love that.
It's
that,
very weird.
To them, New Hampshire is probably this romantic place.
Oh, wait, is that true? That's like one of the Spotify things?
Yeah, isn't that like your highest stream was for New Hampshire and it was in Taiwan,
so
right?
West is our highest stream, but... New Hampshire is the second best, and we never played at shows. We don't promote it, and for some reason, Taiwan, they friggin' love. They love New Hampshire.
Hmm.
They're probably thinking, like, New Hampshire's like this magical place.
It kind of is.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, the old man on the mountain. Oh, he does.
Well,
hey, come
anymore.
On, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, well, that's true. Mm. They love his movies, right?
there's, Nashua.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salem.
Oh, yeah, Salem, New Hampshire.
A lot of great shopping.
Mm.
There's Concord.
Right. Yeah, Concord. Yeah.
Goffstown.
What's that record store in Concord? Right downtown there. That's
Concord Records?
I don't know.
Oh, it's Empire Records.
Is it Empire Records?
No.
Okay. Is it Rex Manning Day
it's
today?
Rex Manning Day.
Oh, you brought up a White Line earlier, Shu.
I really
love the transition from Heart of Gold right into White Line.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I prefer the Ragged Glory version, but this one's really good.
I just really like the way he transitioned. Like, it's literally he's playing the chords at the end of Heart of Gold, and he just goes right into it. It's awesome.
I can try to play some of this. I feel like we're having so many weird audio issues. It's
just go back.
It's because we haven't used any of this equipment in like months,
and it's kind of a mess in here.
Go back to the GarageBand thing just to make sure you're.
Yeah, we're recording.
But once you start playing.
Oh, yeah. So,
there it is.
What do you think? You were saying White Line?
Well, Heart of Gold into White Line, yeah, that's a cool.
Let me see.
And, of course, people are going to go nuts.
Right.
You know.
So just fast-forwarding to the end here.
For a heart of gold, I've been a miner for a heart of gold. Thank you.
so good.
I came to you when I needed a rest. You took my love and put it to the test.
So where was this? Was at the Phil? No.
Songs for Judy. They took it from the whole tour.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's like
That's
but these are
five
bigger.
Or six
these are bigger.
Cities,
right. These are bigger rooms, each. Right?
Yeah. This was like the full-on Crazy Horse tour.
You guys want to talk about like highlights, or do you want to jump right to top three? Highlights might be top three. You want to start with Roxy?
I don't even think I did a top three.
I feel like you could pick one on the fly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I have a top three in mind for Judy, but Roxy, I don't.
I don't know if I picked a
I know
top three.
Walk well, On I didn't is that. On one. You could pick a top three just raps.
Yeah.
Like Candy Bar Rap, number one. Candy Bar 2, number 2. All right, let's play.
Well, the whole story about Judy Garland appearing in the orchestra pit. You know,
Candy
that's
Bar was here, you know. So everybody knows how guilty we are already.
Yeah, man.
Ben,
you may not remember Candy Bar.
Candy Bar.
I suggest you read up on it.
Read up on.
Russ did. He read up on Candy Bar.
Hey, Candy.
I googled it.
Hey, Daryl.
Candy.
Did you know Candy Bar?
Candy Bar.
Play some of the Judy story. I want to hear him. Yeah, how's the business, Neil?
You should just open the show with that.
Yeah.
I just have this song I got to sing for you.
It's kind of a long. It's kind of long.
Listen to him. Listen. He sounds like Luke on a Friday night.
Oh, I know all those old songs. Really, I still know the changes.
I know the changes.
Yeah.
Neil, sometimes I feel
I
like
love when he goes, that's
world,
not
so.
It, that's not it.
Yeah, he goes, it's going to be a long night.
I love it when you ask me for those old songs and everything, but
no, he doesn't.
It's funny because what keeps you alive is what kills you, you know. If you get too much of the old shit, you know.
Yeah.
Good night.
That's right.
It's good.
Yeah,
good.
Man.
So here's a song I wrote especially for you, especially you loud, boisterous mothers out there.
Boisterous mothers. I can hear you.
Just pretend that? You can hear that old pool hall clanking in the background.
He literally was just like
that old pool hall.
He doesn't play it. He's not.
He's a little.
I know you can relate to this song. It's a song I wrote about myself.
I love that.
Too far gone.
I know you can relate to this song. It's a song I wrote about myself.
Even though there've been maybe 9 songs of the same title in the last 2 years, I don't let things like that bother me.
I don't let things like that bother me.
If I'm too far gone, I got the right to say it, right?
Right to say it, right?
That's right.
Sounds like Ozzy a little bit.
Just checking with you.
It's
because of this abyss here. It's because of this hole between us that I have to keep...
All right, I'm going
to
fast forward a little bit.
Reaffirming our... So
it's like almost there. But. Just checking with you.
Can you light up the pit, please?
Can you light up the pit, please?
Can we get some sun on that? That's what he says in Roxy.
Well, anyway, I want to tell you, folks, you don't have to be able to see me to hear what I'm saying. What I'm going to tell you is I saw Judy Garland down there tonight earlier.
Earlier.
She was wearing a red dress with red lipstick.
And a long
jacket. And she had some,
jacket.
A little bit of music with her right here.
Right here.
One of those music folios. It said Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
He didn't say portfolios.
A little girl looking up at me with a blue sky behind her. And there she was, Judy Garland, in a red dress with her piece of music. And she looked up and she said, how's the business, Neil?
How's the business, Neil?
How's the business, Neil?
You don't have to believe me.
How's the business, Neil?
Think about it. The both of these albums have that theme where he's kind of making fun of old Hollywood and the old Hollywood machine, how it would just eat people up and spit them out. And that's kind of like... That's always been something he's kind of, I don't want to say obsessed, but he's kind of focused on. You know, that's what Tonight's the Night is about. Yeah. You know, with Danny Whitten, and
Bruce Barry.
Excuse me.
Jesus.
I'm sorry, I'm Bruce Barry.
Was that?
Was Bruce that Barry.
Sorry, did the Hollywood machine just get you?
I know the Hollywood machine's listening in.
How's the business, you?
How's the business, Mike? And then the, you know, the whole George Burns thing.
I was
and
just
then,
gonna say, what did you just have a big George Burns?
I had
cigar?
A big George Burns cigar. Pretend this is a big cigar like George Burns. You know, that's kind of a common thing of him. It's like it's the how the business like just eats up people and just like throws them away,
right.
Scatters them or just tosses them away. You know, like they were just they're used up. And so the both of these albums kind of have that thing.
Right.
You know, with this Judy Garland story and, and him taught, he comments on it throughout the whole thing, like those comments about, you know, that old shit will eat you up and everything. That's another like Rust Never Sleeps reference. Like he just didn't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again
because
that's what got Judy Garland, you know, and then got her addicted to pills. And then that was the end of her.
Oh, that happened to her?
Yes. Yes. So yeah,
actually, I think what killed her was ketchup on pastrami.
It wouldn't surprise me. That almost killed me, and I didn't even eat any. Do you have an actual beer?
Do you want Mick Ultra?
No, that's not beer.
Do you have a Skelzo?
Mick Ultra. Does anyone think Mick Ultra is actually beer?
Do you have any Skelzies?
I got a Cido, Russman.
Yeah, I'll take a Skitty.
No, I got two Skelzos.
Whatever.
How about a Belgian White?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you. Shrouded Summit.
All right.
Oh, Ghostfish. Where are they from?
Too far gone.
Oh, Seattle.
I really like Mellow My Mind, too. That song just always gets stuck in my head, man.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, we got drugs and we got booze. So.
I love the banjo version of Human Highway.
That's great.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's excellent. I think I might actually prefer that.
Want me to hit a little?
That might be my favorite version.
No,
of that
my favorite
song.
Version is the one we've talked about this that I found. I showed you. I think it's either Stills or one of those dudes singing harmony with him, and it's fucking.
Oh, right. Was that on the Deja Vu like 50th anniversary deluxe version?
Let me see.
Seems every time I try to record this song. Someone stepped in. And stopped it.
Just to make this a real Long May You Young episode, that's totally about Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
And stopped it.
And stopped it.
I love that he goes like down.
And stopped it. Steven Stills.
Yeah, I forgot about this. I like this a lot, too.
Isn't that great? It's just perfect. It's perfect.
I got lost on the human highway.
You just forget how long this album
take
is.
Take my hand, refreshing fountain. Take my eyes from what they've seen. Take my head and change my mind. How could people get so unkind?
So I would say that's my favorite musical moment on that record, and then the Judy Garland hallucination story at the beginning.
So the Too Far Gone is my number, easily my number one.
It's really good, too.
Like, the Songs for Judy intro and then into Too Far Gone. I just love everything about that. I love the song. This Human Highway might be my number three, and then my two is Give Me Strength. I fucking love Give Me Strength. Which is a great song.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna hit a little Give Me Strength right now, real quick.
I actually kind of want. I know we've already done this because, like I said, we talked about it. But I kind of want to hear that Human Highway again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's.
I think it's on the Deja Vu.
I think it's on Look Out for My Love.
Oh, okay.
I'll find it. But we just did this because we just did Hitchhiker like a few episodes ago. It's like 3 months ago. I just love classic, fucking can feel it, Neil. Too much more. I'll go to that Deja Vu thing, Russ, but this is the...
I don't think it's Deja Vu. I could be. Shu might be right, but I think it's...
Yeah, I thought it was like a version... I think it was on the Deja Vu.
I'll play this song, for while I'm looking.
This old song, he's sung a lot of times. But it keeps coming back at me.
Yeah.
It's so loud.
life is changing in so many ways. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the Lookout for My Love thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like some other.
I love that intro. It's so awesome. Heavy.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just evil.
And it's
evil
just like
sounding.
That first sound just, yeah. Whoa, what the fuck was that? You know, it just.
And I think it flows right. It's really nice going into Man Needs a Maid. And I love that version of that song there. I love the acoustic version on, what did we talk about recently? It was one of the acoustic records. But this one might be my new favorite version of A Man Needs a Maid.
If you go to the little key thing where you can search, do you know what that is?
Yep.
Type in Human Highway. I think it's the fourth one down. It's either the fourth one down or the second one. I can't remember.
I do want to say this hasn't booted me off yet.
That's good. It's like it's a picture of him and
this one.
I think it might be.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this.
Yeah, I think it might be this.
I come down.
Yeah, this version's better.
On the misty mountain, I got lost on the human highway. Take my head, refreshing fountain. Take my eyes from what they've seen. Take my head and change my mind. How could people get so unkind? Oh,
yeah, this is a beautiful, gorgeous.
Yeah, I think I feel like I've slept on
this
song forever.
And then there's like a little
forever.
Bit of a dobro or slide.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Every new version I like better. Like the softer the song gets. I never really liked this song. Like on Comes a Time, it's fine. It's also the most ironic thing that he named that weird ass movie after this, like very kind of folksy song.
Well, it's the journey, Luke.
It is the journey.
That's what it's about. It's the journey.
Should we play a little bit of Speaking Out since someone mentioned Nils on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking Out!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the playing on this is fucking... This whole album.
I don't know if it'll come through like the way we're hearing.
Yeah, it's doing that dumb audio thing where it's cutting parts out. But.
So the reason why we haven't ever gotten to that version is because it's from Neil Young Archives Volume 2, Disc 9.
we'll figure it out.
It's called Look Out for My Love, and I'm pretty sure that's Crosby, Stills, and Nash singing it.
Right. Well, he originally wanted to do that with those guys, and they just, for some reason, that's why I kept saying on this one, someone always shot it down.
Yeah. But Stills plays the bottleneck slide guitar on that, I'm pretty sure. That's what he's credited
nice.
As.
Nice.
That's another one from, well, the I would assume, I can't, it's got to be like 75, 76. It's an archives thing, so. But again, just a whole bunch of shit in that time frame, you know?
Right. I mean, he was super prolific.
The cover is him and Billy singing into the same mic.
All right, so let's say we... right now, we just did these two albums together. Next would be Tuscaloosa. You'd think we're pretty much done, because Tuscaloosa was like 2018, I think, or was then... There's Colorado, Homegrown. Like, how much are we going to do like that? But then there's Return to Greendale. There's The Times. There's another Tonight's the Night. There's just so many fucking Neil albums. But we are coming
there's
down
not
the home
like,
stretch.
None of a lot of these aren't like original. Like, it's not like...
Right.
A lot of them is the stuff he had.
Right.
Unreleased.
But
know?
I think we should definitely do Tuscaloosa.
Colorado is original.
Colorado. Homegrown we should do.
Yeah.
Homegrown. The Times.
You're not going to leave all this in, are you?
Yeah.
Us planning.
Yeah. I mean, well, who cares?
Yeah, no, seriously. Don't
right.
leave this.
All right. All right.
We should definitely do like Tuscaloosa and Colorado and Homegrown. I mean, as far as all those acoustic albums, unless there's something that's like so...
Yeah.
You know, that's so amazing or just like it's...
Oh, I brought this up because there's just so... That person who said, who emailed us like this, he just keeps putting out
right.
shit.
Right. I think it's unless it's a studio recording, something that's never been heard before, you know, we should definitely talk about it.
Yeah. Barn, that type of thing.
Yeah, Barn.
So it'd be, yeah, it'd be like, it would be Colorado, I guess Homegrown, but...
No, yeah, we should definitely
yeah,
do
we
Homegrown.
Absolutely should talk about
The
Homegrown.
Times.
Yeah.
It's just wild to me that we're getting close to the end. We're like, not the end of the podcast, but kind of. It's just, I don't know, it's just interesting to me. Yeah. It really did take a long time to get here.
Yeah.
We take summers off.
Right, that's true.
Did you guys have any like highlights, top threes, anything like that?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, just, it's, you know, these two albums together, like you said, are great. I think that it's just both of them. Neil sounds like he's having fun. You listen to something like Massey Hall, which is such a great recording. It's maybe my favorite acoustic Neil, but it sounds very like really subdued, and like the crowd's super quiet.
Yeah.
As opposed to this one, which is these are like American crowds, mid-70s. You know, they're drinking friggin', you know, Mad Dog and smoking tons of shit weed. And whatever else they're doing, you know, and they're wild and stuff like that. I like, especially Songs for Judy.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like things could get out of hand at any time, which is great.
He never seems to get pissed off at the crowd either.
No. Like, no, he kind of puts it nicely, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people would. A lot of people get pissed at the crowd.
Right.
When I saw Ryan Adams at the Wang, which I'm embarrassed to say that I did, he got so mad because people were talking and yelling. It's an annoying
Stop
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Stop it. You're not up there playing Tchaikovsky.
Right.
You know, how did you get to that point?
Right.
How did Ryan Adams get to that point?
And also,
he played fucking shitty bars and fucking open mics where people were probably throwing shit at him, you know, so get over it, you know?
Yeah. And also, you're probably making at least $100,000.
Right. So
at
just
the Wing. Yeah.
More than that, you know.
Just do the show.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, no, I like these two. If I had to pick one, I kind of lean towards Songs for Judy. It's me personally.
Yeah, I might lean towards, I don't know, Roxy.
I think I leaned Roxy. But...
Yeah, just because I love Tonight's the Night so much, and I love this performance. So that would be my choice. What do we got next?
I guess it would...
Probably Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa, okay.
Which, again, is kind of a...
Well, we did Time Fades Away.
That's true.
You know, that's the same tour, right?
Was it?
Yeah, I believe it is.
The album cover for Tuscaloosa is one of my favorite things.
Of what, Neil jumping?
I just, with his hair, I just think it looks so fucking cool.
Yeah. But then...
This is technically... Didn't we... This is... No, so this is... That's Neil Young Archives Volume 2.
Tuscaloosa is?
Yeah.
No, well, Tuscaloosa was its own religion.
No, that was a religion.
There's two different things.
We'll talk about Tuscaloosa.
There's two different things. In classic Neil style, there's two different... They look exactly the same, but one of them's in archives and one of them's... Yeah,
yeah, Tuscaloosa, then Colorado.
But all the songs are songs we already have
And I believe when we started the podcast, Colorado was the most relevant album. Or, I mean, the most... recent release. So we started this podcast.
The Times would have been.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Homegrown
would have been.
Colorado came out like...
Yeah, it was 2019. And we didn't start till...
Homegrown came out after we
just
started
before the pandemic. Colorado came out.
Right.
Before the pandemic hit, so...
Yeah, so then it would have been Homegrown.
Homegrown happened after we started recording.
Yeah.
Homegrown, it was June of 2020.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we're all... I'm exhausted. Are you just exhausted?
We've been disc golfing in the sun all day and eating subs. It's a good way to prepare for a podcast.
Well,
thank you very much for sticking with us, though.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
We love you guys.
You can check us out on social media. We're on Facebook and also at Long May You Young on Twitter and Instagram.
And thanks to our patrons. Taking a month without any content, I thought we would lose a lot of you guys, and you guys stuck it out, and it's just really cool. I put out a little bonus thing. I don't know if I even told you guys. Tim wants to do a Steely Dan podcast, so he pitched it to me and got a lot of fun feedback from the youngsters. So so we might do that.
Also, I would love to thank the folks over at boldfoot.com who make amazing socks. I know we haven't did an episode in a while, but they're still one of our sponsors through the Pantheon Podcast Network, 100% American made. Grown here, sewn here, 5% of all the proceeds go to veterans charities. So go out and get socks at boldfoot.com.
Nice.
There you go.
That's cool. You got any?
No, Boldfoot? No, they haven't sent me any. That's okay.
I love a good sock.
I'm going to go, these are supposedly some really beautiful socks, and they last a long time, and it goes
beautiful socks.
They are. They're beautiful socks,
I'm more of a low-cut Connie guy, though. I like a little
I like a low-cut.
When you wear beautiful socks, you feel beautiful. That's the important thing.
When you hit a certain age, do you have to really get the high socks?
With the garters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. I don't know if I'm at that age yet.
I
was at a baseball game last night, and there was a guy there, all white. White, like, polo shirt tucked into his white shorts, and then he had the white socks pulled up to his knees, and then the white mall walkers.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, how long? How long? And my daughter looked over and she went, oh my God, look at that guy. And I said, listen, honey, if you love me, if I like come out of my bedroom dressed like that, the first thing you should do is kick me right in the nuts.
Yeah.
Kick me, punch me in the nuts, just throw me down the stairs and don't let me leave the house dressed like that. Unless I'm wearing Boldfoot socks, which are American made.
Of course.
Yeah.
Proceeds go to veterans.
That's right. Yeah. So don't kick me in the nuts then.
Nice. All right, well, it was good to do a live one, even though we had some audio issues. I think it went well.
All right, the next one's going to be Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa.
All right.
And then we'll do a bonus one at some point in between. What should we talk about on the bonus one? We'll talk about it after. We'll figure it out.
We still have promised them to do the Back to the Future thing. Right.
That's coming. That's coming soon. It's coming right around the bend. We're going to do Back to the Future 2 with Mike.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. All right.
Good.
See you guys.
All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.